This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we're back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, interestingly, I'm seeing a lot of people still wear their masks. So, it looks like we got some honest people out there. In fact, it's interesting. I went to lunch with a friend of mine. We're both vaccinated, and he was wearing a mask still. He's a doctor. And I'm like, well, if he's wearing a mask, you know, I better find a clean one because it really is peer pressure. I'm like, well, if he's wearing a mask and I was vaccinated, I don't want him to feel dumb wearing a mask, and he's a doctor. And I didn't ask him why he was wearing a mask, so I wore one too. But then when people were looking at me, I'm like, I've been vaccinated. It really is a confusing time. It really is confusing. But I just saw my husband's practice. Everybody in the waiting room was wearing masks. Very cool. Now, is it because they're afraid they're going to get COVID and they think the mask protects them? Is it that they're just so used to wearing them? Is it that some of us are broken out or we haven't shaved or we have a nick mark on our face or didn't wax? I don't know. But very interesting that everybody's wearing masks. Huh. And now I feel like, wait a second, I'm without a mask. I feel so liberated, but I feel so naked. Well, the CDC wants to make sure that just because they did an about face on the masks and said, you know what, if you're vaccinated, you're good. And now I guess many people are ripping off their masks. They don't want people to think that the pandemic is over. It's just, I think they realized that if they want people to vaccinate and be incentivized to, they're going to have to give them something and they're going to have to give them some freedom. And so that freedom would be, all right, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, the World Health Organization has weighed in, and the World Health Organization has said that the coronavirus pandemic is, quote, far from over. And as we predicted, and this is something that's been going on for a while, is asking for countries to pony up some of their vaccines. So the director, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, is warning that coronavirus pandemic is a long way far from over and has appealed for more funding for the agency's response plan. The funding, and, you know, did they do their job with the current funding they had is, I know, up for debate. But he says there appears to be a mindset that the pandemic is over in countries with high vaccination rates, but warned that no one is safe until we are all safe. You think he's talking about us? There appears to be a mindset that the pandemic is over. You don't think he saw the spring break photos, do you? Man. Tedros also called for vaccine manufacturers to give COVAX the right of first refusal on any additional supply allotments. Tedros said the COVAX initiative is falling short of its supply goal, mostly due to case surges in areas that are committed to supply the coalition like India. He says COVAX works and has so far delivered 65 million doses to 124 countries and economies, but is dependent on countries and manufacturers honoring their commitment. He said, while we appreciate the work of AstraZeneca, who have been steadily increasing the speed and volume of their deliveries, we need other manufacturers to follow suit. So Pfizer and Moderna pledged millions of doses to COVAX, but the majority won't arrive till latter half of the year or next year. And they need vaccines now. So they say once the devastated outbreak in India recedes, we also need the Serum Institute of India to get back on track and catch up on its delivery commitments to COVAX. Furthermore, he said we need high-income countries that have contracted much of the immediate global supply of vaccines. You think he's talking about us? To share them now. He goes, I call on manufacturers to publicly commit to helping any country that wants to share their vaccines with COVAX to lift their contractual barriers within days and not months. Yeah, he's talking about us. And that's why I told you guys, if you don't want the vaccine, you don't use it, you lose it. Biden is under a lot of pressure to start poning up some of the vaccines. And I don't blame the World Health Organization for saying that. When you have Americans on video, you know, being interviewed on CNN or Fox or MSNBC saying, you know, I think I'm going to pass. Meanwhile, there's people consumed, another 250,000 people, new cases in India over the last few hours, 4,100 deaths. There's going to be a big call to Americans saying, all right, you know what, if you're not using it, can you please give it to other people? By the time the Americans change their mind, there'll be more. So on Monday, President Joe Biden announced that the U.S. would be sending 20 million doses of its authorized vaccine supply to other countries in the coming weeks. The administration had previously committed to sending 60 million doses of the soon-to-be AstraZeneca-authorized vaccine, bringing the total to 80 million. Now, they did send 4 million doses to Mexico and Canada. But again, India has 1.4 billion people. That's a lot. They say the situation in a number of countries continues to be very concerning. Tedros said the pandemic is a long way far from over, and it will not be over anywhere until it's over everywhere. So he's got a point, okay? And mind you, I'd still like to know where the heck the World Health Organization was summer of 2019 when I think this all started in China. But, all right, they're trying to play catch-up. The issue we have, and some of you are looking at this going, I don't get it. We got millions of vaccines. We're starting to do better in America. What the heck is going on here? Well, okay, the vaccines cost money. Trump prepaid for vaccines from a bunch of different companies because he didn't know who was going to make it first. So he hedged his bet, which I thought was a smart move. So he got vaccines from Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson. He bought, I think, 100 million here, 100 million there, 100 million there, and extra, just in case somebody dropped a few bottles. So the few hundred million vaccines should then cover for every American. And then if we needed boosters or whatever, we have a pipeline of that. These vaccines costed money. For America to give away vaccines, it had to be arranged like Biden had suggested with Mexico and Canada, it'd be a loan. We'll give you some of ours, and then when you get yours, you give them back. But these cost money. So it starts to get a little tricky when people have to pony up things they paid for. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY, don't go away.
Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
All right, guys. We are back on Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, guys. So I'm a workaholic. So for me, my average work day, I get up 5, 6 in the morning, try to work out, or I do some work, prep for my show. Yeah, the show's prep. I know you can't tell. Do my show. Then either have a lunch meeting, work on the book, see patients, go home, deal with the kids, deal with the cats, deal with the dog, deal with dinner, see some more patients. So I would say my work day is basically 6 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night. Maybe sometimes till 10 at night. I might, now that I work at home, intersperse it with some fun. But my work days are obviously over 12 hours, 15-hour days. And I also work on the weekends. So when I saw that people working over 55 hours a week are at higher risk for heart attack and stroke, I'm screwed. I think a lot of us are screwed. I was doing 36-hour shifts back to back in medical school and internship. That means two shifts spanning 6 days, which is already way over that 55-hour mark. So I guess what I want to say is if you have a 40-hour a week work week, I mean, that's cush. You know, this whole working 9-to-5. If you got a 9-to-5 job, I wouldn't be complaining. No wonder they sing the song. Dolly Parton was right. If you're working 9-to-5, you're lucky. So sing the song. Some light of it, some to the kitchen. Okay, so now this report coming out of the World Health Organization says hundreds of thousands of people are dying every year from heart disease and stroke because they work too much. Now, they say most of the deaths included people between 60 and 79. They were mostly men, and they had worked at least 55 hours a week between the ages of 46 and 74. Men accounted for 72% of the deaths. People living in the Western Pacific, Southeast Asia, middle-aged or older workers had more stress. So, okay, what is it? Because here's my thing. Work for me was less stressful than home. I loved my kids. I loved the boys. But work was an escape in a way. If I had to deal with the kids all day long and then drive them here, drive them there, go to the practices, deal with the other parents, to me, that's not fun. That's work. Yet, if I see the patient 15 minutes here, half hour here, see him for a few minutes online, deal with some students, that's to me easy. That to me is leisure. And so I think when you guys see this study and you look at, well, if you work more than 55 hours a week, I think the key to all of this is, do you like your job or not? Is it a job to you? I love teaching. I love singing. I love broadcasting. I love writing. I love doing things. And if that's my work, it's not work. But if I'm cleaning the house, if I'm dealing with people I don't want to deal with, if I have stress from bills or, you know, I don't know, having to deal with the airline or whatever, to me, that's not relief. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I go on vacation, I almost need a day to myself afterwards. I don't. It's because I have to work that I just go back into work the next morning. But I really like having a few hours downtime because travel is work for me. I like travel, but so much more stressful than work. So I think you guys need to kind of evaluate what you're actually doing because it does increase your risk of dying. Looks like according to here by 17% or 55 hours a week, that's 11 hours a day, Monday through Friday. So if you're working 11 hours a day, Monday through Friday, that's considered overwork. Now, in America, we have labor laws. You're not supposed to work over 40-hour weeks. You might be doing shift work or be on salary where then there's a little bit more looseness, but technically you're not supposed to work more than 40 hours. That's just the way it's supposed to be. And if you do, you're supposed to be paid overtime. But I mean, you know, the commute. To me, the commute is part work. I worked in a place where I had to drive about 20 miles to work each way. That was like an hour drive. That's not fun. Luckily, I had good music, but when you're in traffic, not fun. When I went to UCLA, an hour and a half to get to work and come home each day. So now that's taking a 10 or 12-hour workday and adding an extra hour or two on it. But what is fascinating about this study, and it's being reported by CNN Business, is those of you who work from home, those of us, it adds an extra 2.5 hours to the average working day. They say home working employees in the UK, Austria, Canada, and US are putting in more hours than before. This is research conducted by NordVPN Teams. It's a New York-based company that provides virtual private networks. So if you're working from home and you're doing an 8-hour shift, you could just tack on 2.5 hours extra because you're online. Now, how the heck is that happening? Because a lot of people who work from home, I know they're messing around because I'm on the phone with them. You know, or, you know, I can see them on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Yeah. Well, the problem is my Facebook, it's always on because I have my, it's on my browser. So when I'm seeing patients, if it's in another browser, it's going to look like I'm on. But, you know, one of you caught up on Game of Thrones. You caught up on the whole series of Game of Thrones in the last month. You had to have been doing it on the job. There is no way you got through all 8 seasons on your off hours. So, I happen to think people working at home, they're kind of messing around. But they say apparently a lot of people don't clock out at night. See, I do that. I've never worked this much at night in terms of seeing patients. I've done other work. I did work for students, or I've written and I've done things on my own at night, paperwork and things like that, but reports. But to see patients, I've seen patients well until 10, 11 o'clock at night. Why? Because the computer allows it to. And if I get a text from my boss saying, look, can you see an extra patient or two? Yeah, I'll log in. You get paid for it. I log in and I see the patient. I don't drink, so if I'm not drinking, it's, you know, I had my dinner. I just get out of my pajamas and I get dressed up again, but still. So, you know, a concept of being overworked is, I think, something we need to look at, because we're hearing over and over again that people can't get individuals to come back to work. People are wanting to open up. Their governor is allowing them to open up, and they can't open up because nobody wants to come in. And so I think there's this anti-work mentality. And the study is highlighting people in countries that are really kind of not, I think, protected by labor laws. But I also see people in America where they'll take on a job, their boss will text them at night, their boss will text them on the weekend, and so they basically are putting in that kind of work. Now, for me, my liking the job, I think, has helped me. I mean, I don't know how many more years I'm going to live on this earth, hopefully long. Maybe my workaholic days cost me my life. Maybe it didn't. But if I like my job, I don't care. I'll talk to people. I talk to students. I'll talk to patients on the weekend. I mean, to me, if I love my job, I'll do it. I'll prep for my show. I'll do interviews. If I love my job, I'll do it. But if you don't like your job and your boss texts you, you get that, you know, you get that hair on the back of your neck, just, you know, like electricity. And so, if it really is costing you your life, no job should cost you your life. No job should. You know, and so if you don't like what you're doing, you got to find another job. If working from home helps, try to still work from home. If you can't and the job is demanding, you go back. If it's a toxic work environment, don't go back. It looks like now, this is so rare, it appears that for a short period of time, you all get to have a choice in a new job, because so many people are having issues getting their employees back to work. And for the first time in probably decades, you have the upper hand when it comes to labor. You have the upper hand, and I'll come back, but these are the hours I want to work. These restaurants are desperate. These marketing agencies, these bars, these people that want to reopen are at your mercy. And if you could give them a certain schedule, now it might not last because once more people come in, or, you know, once things start to normalize and the unemployment rate goes back to the unemployment insurance goes back to their pre-pandemic levels. But for now, if you think you want to get out of a job and try a new job, this is your time. And if you do have a job that's making you work over, you could talk to them about it. We've talked about how to bring it up. You know, I mean, most bosses like people that don't clock in and clock out, but are more, you know, focused on, let me get the task done. But that doesn't necessarily mean it has to eat into your personal time. So you should be able to have that conversation with the boss, saying, look, I want to make sure during office hours I get this done. Because sometimes with my kids, they get mad when I'm on the phone, and we've got to have a no phone rule. Something like that. So let them know that they can't call you when you're with your family. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Top White House COVID advisor Andy Slavitt is urging young Americans to get vaccinated.
Whether you're a graduate, still in high school, in college, just out, or more than a little bit out, it's the most important thing you can do right now.
Slavitt also telling reporters that vaccines have led to a dramatic reduction in hospitalizations and deaths from the virus. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz is calling for an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Cruz saying we can't discount the possibility of a lab leak.
We should not be satisfied, given that millions have died based on COVID-19, with having only circumstantial evidence.
Cruz continues by saying there's evidence that needs to be explored.
The State Department had two separate internal wires prior to the outbreak of the pandemic, raising serious concerns about the security protocols of that Wuhan Institute of Virology lab.
USA Radio News. Kohl's is the latest store to pull the plug on its mask mandate. The company saying on Monday that vaccinated shoppers no longer need to wear a mask in the store. It's the same policy at Walmart and Target. More states are continuing to open up as well, including New York.
We have to reopen. We have to reopen smart. We have to reopen with a cautious eye, but we have to get back to life.
New York Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo also saying the New York City Marathon will be held in November. And as far as states and stores lifting some of their mask mandates, this shopper tells NBC News.
You know, at some point we have to let people take responsibility for their own decisions.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is bringing her message of higher taxes for corporate America to a high-profile business group. She's addressing the Chamber of Commerce and arguing corporations can pay more in taxes. Yellen saying the corporate tax rate should go back to historical norms. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events, showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
All right, guys, we are back with Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook at Dr. Dolly Show. So breaking news this morning is Andrew Brown Jr. shooting death is ruled as justified, and the cops will not face charges. According to the DA, District Attorney Andrew Womble, he announced a ruling at a news conference earlier today in Elizabeth City. Andrew Brown Jr. was shot 5 times outside his home on April 21st by deputies, they said, attempting to serve drug-related search and arrest warrants. Now, Womble said a state investigation found that the deputies' use of force against Brown was reasonable. The DA also played previously unseen body camera video of the shooting and showed the deputies confronting Brown with their guns drawn as he sat behind the wheel of the car. And then, allegedly, Andrew Brown had, I guess, tried to run them over. I haven't seen the video yet. But there's apparently a lot of now controversy over the district attorney's decision. District attorney did announce this decision today. This is almost a month after deputies shot him. And Womble said a probe by the State Bureau of Investigation found that the deputies' use of force against Brown, who was accused of selling crack cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin, was quote-unquote reasonable. He said Brown ignored deputies' commands to stop and began to drive his car directly at one of the officers before he was shot. He said Mr. Brown's death, while tragic, was justified because Mr. Brown's actions cost three deputies, with the Pasquotank County Sheriff's Office to reasonably believe it was necessary to use deadly force to protect themselves and others. Womble had also played previously unseen body camera footage of the deputies confronting Brown with their guns while he sat behind the wheel of his BMW sedan. And so now the DA is under fire from reporters who asserted that the heavily edited video showed Brown was trying to drive away from the officers, not into them. Womble countered that Brown was attempting to use the car as a deadly weapon. He noted that no weapon was found in his vehicle and he was not known to carry weapons. He also said preliminary autopsy results showed Brown had meth in his mouth when he died. Now, three deputies who fired his weapons at Brown, investigator Daniel Meads, Deputy Robert Morgan, and Captain Aaron Llewellyn, were placed on indefinite leave. For others who were at the scene were reinstated after the sheriff said they didn't fire their weapons. And it's just so tragic, just tragic. So on Tuesday, Womble refused to confirm whether the three officers were still on leave after the investigation. They say both Meads and Llewellyn are white and Morgan is black, according to the sheriff's office. And, you know, they said on the day of the shooting, deputies interacted with him for a total of 44 seconds. They showed four different videos from that time frame on a projector. And the compilation was released, you know, to the family before, and I guess that's got to be really, really hard to see when, you know, you as a family member, see your loved one die. But the common theme to these, which is very frustrating and very frightening, is when we see these people die, and you know, during a arrest or during a warrant. There's, and it's not all the cases, but in many of these cases, there's a chaos that ensues. Whether it's the person fleeing, or in that one case where the officer used a gun, her Glock, instead of a taser. Horribly tragic. But it occurred after the person was in the process of being arrested, and then he feels he could make a run for it. Now, you know, me growing up, I could be wrong, and it's because, you know, my grandfather was a police officer. You know, he had told me that if the police ever stop me, don't run. If you run, they'll shoot. Now, I don't know if this is an old school adage, if this was, you know, I don't know if this was a general rule, but I mean, this was in the 70s and 80s. I just remember that, you know, if they say to freeze, if they say to stop, you stop. Now, I understand, you know, some people might think that an accident's going to happen or somebody's going to misfire or something. But, you know, we were taught any movement, any sudden movement will cause somebody to react and shoot. So you freeze. When they say freeze, you freeze. Now, again, this was in the, you know, 70s and 80s. And, you know, here's me, even though I grew up poor, you know, I'm white. And so I can't compare my, and I'm a girl, I can't compare my situation to any of the situations now. But I do remember knowing, and still to this day, it's been, you know, just ingrained in my head, that if somebody says freeze, you know, I mean, I want to look and make sure it is a cop and not just somebody else. But that term freeze, hands up, don't move, you don't move. And you try to reach for something or you try to scratch, you get shot. That's not, that shouldn't be the you know, law. I mean, that shouldn't be the norm. But unfortunately, that's where this might all be spurring from. If somebody's resisting arrest, or coming towards you, or coming towards somebody else, or can go and hurt somebody else. You know, is there a there's a training involved into, you know, don't let that person be a threat to others. Now, I don't know if, you know, years ago there were cases where somebody resisted arrest, got away, killed somebody, and then that family sued the police department for not doing their job. I don't know. I mean, that case with that girl stabbing or, you know, lunging after other kids with a knife and she got shot. You know, I mean, it's a shame she had to die. It would have been ideal for her to be restrained. But if she's lunging at somebody with a knife, the speed at that, I think there was a study where if somebody's lunging at you with a knife, your shot might still be too slow. You might be able to shoot him, but they could still get to you with that knife. So if you think that you could stop them without a gun, you've got another thing coming, especially if you're not trained. And so, I don't know if this situation that we're seeing where people are dying, you know, in a process of an arrest or a warrant could be simplified with less resisting arrest or the chaos of jumping in a car or kicking off the handcuffs. I don't know what happened. It looked like the officer couldn't get the handcuffs on this other gentleman. I forget, the one that was shot with the Glock instead of a taser. And nobody should be dying, but it seems to be a common thread. I don't understand how, you know, we can't come up with a way to prevent this. And again, if somebody is on drugs, they're probably going to think they can make a run for it. They probably think they can. So then is it the process of making a run for it that has to be readdressed? I mean, can you literally shoot at the tires? I mean, I've seen movies where they shot at the tire and it looks easy. I don't know. You know, these tires, I'm looking at the car right now. The car is low to the ground, the bumper. I don't think you can get to the tires. You know, people say, well, guys, you know, if the car's driving away or the car's driving out, you just shoot the tire. I don't think they could get to the tire. Same thing with, you know, well, why don't you shoot the gun out of the person's hand? That sort of aim with a moving target, it's, you know, sharpshooters at least get to have a, you know, at least get to take their time and they get to, you know, be in an environment where they could, you know, have a couple seconds to aim. If somebody's coming at you or pointing a laser at you, like that gentleman at that Wendy's parking lot, I think that was in Chicago, there's no time. It would be ideal. I mean, trust me, you know, I did my CCW training. I'm thinking to myself, gosh, can I maybe just shoot in the leg so they don't die? You know, do I have to do center mass? The problem is if somebody's coming at you, you don't have the time to try to find where the arteries are and hit in another area. You just don't have time when somebody's coming after you. And so I think we can move forward and figure out ways to prevent these. It's just, unfortunately, it's going to take a huge part on the criminal side to not, you know, resist arrest or go after the cops or fight or, you know, because unfortunately that's when these things happen. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Dahlia Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So how many of you had your first colonoscopy yet? I've had 3. I'm about to get my 4th. Yay! So exciting. I hate the colonoscopy. I hate going for the colonoscopy. I hate the prep. I hate all of it. Well, for those of you going, well, Dr. Dahlia, it's because you're old. No, I had my first one in my 30s. Fading to 30s isn't old. I'm in my 40s now. Almost leaving my 40s. I don't feel old, but I'm at higher risk for colon cancer, so I got screened. But for those of you who are needing just your general screen, you all thought you could wait till you're 50. Now got lowered to age 45. Yay! See, you get to join the club. You get to join the club. Drop them. Start dropping them. So the U.S. Preventative Task Force has now lowered the screening. The U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, I apologize, has now dropped the screening age from 50 to 45, which is something that I think me and a lot of doctors have already assumed, because African Americans especially get more vicious colon cancer, and to wait till they're 50 was, I think, cruel. You know, somebody at higher risk will get screened earlier, but many people don't know if they're at risk. If they haven't had blood in their stool, if they don't have a family history, if they think they have a good diet, they don't think they're at risk. So they might just wait till they go, all right, 50. 50 is a magic age. Meanwhile, we're seeing younger people get colon cancer and rectal cancer. And when my lunch comes out, falls out of my face, that could be a risk factor too, because obviously there's some sort of blockage. So based on evidence that younger people are being diagnosed with colon cancer, which is something we've been seeing for years, the United States Preventive Task Force is now moving the recommended age for colon cancer screening from 50 to 45. This is huge because, you know, I had to put off my colonoscopy until June because I was going to have to spend thousands of dollars because I was under the age. Now with the age changing, well, June's coming up anyway, but still, with the age changing, now insurance, if they cover it, if it's a benefit, they're going to pay for it. Now, don't be surprised if your insurance goes up. You know, if insurance companies have to now, you know, pony up the dough to give you your colonoscopy, they're going to probably charge more to everybody. But this is the one test I really am a fan of. I know we make fun of it a lot, but the reason why I really, really advocate for getting colon cancer screening is because it's the only screen out there that also cures and prevents cancer. And when you go for your mammogram, they take a picture. You're like, they're down by the feet. So not only do the boobies get checked out, but the feet do too. So my feet get screened for cancer with the mammogram. But anyway, you know, you do your thing or whatever, and okay, it's a picture. And then from there, if they see a mass, something has to happen. Same thing with pap smear. It's like, you know, hello. They take a sample, and then from there they have to decide to do something. But with the colonoscopy, if they see a little baby polyp, they're going to biopsy it. They're going to remove it. They're going to prune you when you get a colonoscopy. Now, if you've got too many polyps, there's only so much they can do. But if you have a little baby polyp here and a little baby polyp here, your doctor removes those. And then that polyp can never turn to cancer. All cancer will start from a polyp. Not all polyps will turn to cancer. But if you're going to get cancer, colon cancer is most likely going to start from a polyp. It's like all apples grow on trees, but not all trees grow apples. So if the doctor's in there and he sees a polyp, he's going to remove that. He just prevented that polyp from turning into cancer. So it's huge. It's probably the best screening test I've ever seen. Is it invasive? Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Is it embarrassing? Yes. The prep, my first one I did in my 30s, I got to take pills as my prep. Swallow a whole bunch of pills. I pooped. Fell asleep by 1 in the morning, woke up the next day, was able to do my scope. They don't do those anymore because I think there were some kidney issues that they found with the pills. So now you have to take a whole bunch of Ducalax and Mag Citrate. You need to not only soften the stool, but you also need to move the bowels, because you can't have soft stool that sits there, and you can't be moving the bowels with hard stool. So you need both a stool softener and a laxative. And so the Mag Citrate is the most disgusting drink ever. They say you can mix it with soda or something, and it has to be like Sprite, because it has to be light colored. It's disgusting. I can't handle it. So anyway, you go through that. You do like a clear liquid diet the day before. I sometimes do for 2 days because I notice the prep is so much easier because I want to go to bed, you know. And so if I empty out and I'm good, then I get to go to bed, which is good for me. And then when you go in there, you do have to be naked. You wear a gown, okay. And then you can put a smiley face on your tushy. I'm going to do that next time. I just think that's going to be like, the only thing is I don't want him to take a picture of it, but I'm thinking about putting a smiley face on my tush. And then they lie you on your side. They give you propofol, so you fall asleep. They put in the IV. Now, you're not naked yet. You feel all dressed. Then they give you the propofol, and then once you're asleep, then the sheet comes off, and then they insert the scope. It's supposed to be lubricated. I told you guys about how I yelled at my doctor the first time.
because it looked like there was a little dime-sized little bit of lubrication that followed the whole entire curve of the scope that was sitting up there. And I'm like, there's no way that sucker's going to lubricate that whole thing. And by the time I finished yelling at them, I was already out. But apparently it was lubricated enough. You don't have pain. Your rectum doesn't hurt when you get done with it, but you're very bloated because in order for them to see the colon, they have to put air in and carbon dioxide, and they have to kind of open it up. So you actually do get a little bloated. And then they tell you to toot. You know, they won't let you leave until you toot, which really is, that's really kind of embarrassing. You know, because I want to go. After my colonoscopy, when I'm up, I want to go. And they go, well, you need to, you know, pass gas. And I'm like, trust me, I pass enough, all right, okay? Kids can tell you I'm an expert. They're like, yeah, but you need to pass gas here. So I look around, and there's a dude over here next to me, somebody over there, and I'm like, I'm not going to fart in front of you guys. It's not going to happen. And then sometimes it's a shart. And so I'm like, really, I'm doing this in front of everybody? So I really think a lot of the surgical centers need to kind of fine-tune that sort of aspect to it, because that's, I think, the worst part. You know, and because you're also trying to be quiet, and it's really hard to be quiet when you've just went through all that. Although, if it is dilated, then the air resistance is down, so there's a chance it could be quiet. But anyway, I want to get out of there, but I don't care. And I'm like, all right, guys, get ready for this one. Here we go. Here we go. And then, okay, did you hear that? No, you didn't hear it. Good, good. I did it. And then the nurse comes in going, I need proof. Smell it. I can't smell anything. It won't smell because you just had the prep. It'll smell like Sprite and bad citrate. So then I'm like, here, well, let me find something to show proof. And I'm like, buddy, man, you got to have my back. Tell him I let one out, please. And so anyway, so, you know, we do our best. But and then you get word if you needed, you know, another biopsy or if you needed a colonoscopy or if it did the trick. So the screening colonoscopy to me is going to take a day and a half. You got to take off work. You got to take off some time to do the prep. But it is, you are very happy once it's done. And the funny thing is, you're not that embarrassed because your gastroenterologist, all he does is deal with butts and holes and things like that. He sees it all the time. I've been going to the same one for years. I hope he doesn't retire anytime soon because it's really hard to get naked in front of somebody new. But he's, you know, and it's just the scope. And by the way, my colon is gorgeous. The colon is gorgeous. It's like shiny and pink. But anyway, for those of you guys that do notice some blood in the stool when you wipe, don't just blow it off saying it's a hemorrhoid or, you know, you pass something and, you know, it might have torn a little bit. You got to take blood in the stool seriously. I have seen rectal cancer, anal cancer, colon cancer by people who just talked themselves into thinking it was just a simple hemorrhoid. You really, really, really need to take any sort of blood seriously. Because even if you have a hemorrhoid, we need to kind of figure out, why do you have that hemorrhoid? Why were you pushing so much? Is it because you have a mass? So get your screening colonoscopy, get any blood in the stool checked out. If your stool's changed, if you're always constipated, if you're bloated, you got to get yourself checked out. 1-877-9-1-1.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.